Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. At the weekend, Letterkenny Chamber held its awards ceremony and Julian Ball of R. McCullough Jewellers in Letterkenny collected this year's Hall of Fame award. And we're joined in studio by he. Good morning to you and congratulations. Thank you very much for joining us. It's good to have you with us. And your son, Gareth, is with us as well. Hi, Gareth.
I've been roped along as well. So.
Yes, indeed. We'll see how much we'll need you. I'm only joking. Look, in the first instance, big congratulations, Julian. How did this go down with you? I suppose it's lovely to be recognised by your peers, but we're all different. Some of us, say, bring on the attention, and for others, we sort of more prefer to work quite in the background. Which camp do you fall into?
I would definitely be, I'm a one-to-one, so I prefer to deal with one person, chatting to them in the shop. Whenever you're up on stage and everybody looking at you, it's not my particular field of it, but it's a great award, great honour, and I'm very, very impressed. I'm very, very happy to get it.
We'll talk more about you, but let's talk more about the business because, you know, McCullough's have been in Letterkenny for a very long time. So talk to us about the history of the business coming into the town.
1869, Robert McCullough came to the town. He came from Enniskillen.
We think Enniskillen.
The history is a little bit sketchy at that point back then. But he would be a master jeweller, which means he would have trained three other jewellers to get the master status. Came to town, set up the business then. He had an only daughter called Jean McCullough, who would be my grandmother. And my grandfather married her and then carried the business on.
In the early stages of the business, do we know how it was set up? Because we've got this, you know, this vision of a modern jewellers as yours is, and there are a few around. But I wonder, going back so long there, I wonder how it was presented or how much was on show. Was it made to measure?
I know in my dad's day as well, my dad was Bertie Ball or Robert Ball. And there would be people come in to him and say, Mr. Ball, I want a good watch. Mm. And he would go and get one, what he thought was a good watch for the person to suit their lifestyle and all that. Nowadays it's changed because people have a lot more information on the actual product itself. A lot of times they're coming in looking for something which may or may not be suitable for them. So that's where we're, as a company, we recommend what we feel is suitable for the person, a quality that we like. We don't have to stock things. We stock things that we feel are going to be good, reliable and suitable for the customer.
Yes, in different price ranges as well, but the same principles apply.
Yeah, and I suppose back in the days, back in the 20th century and into the 19th century, that would have occurred as well, that they would have stocked what they thought was best for the customers themselves.
And pardon my ignorance, would much of it have been made on site or...?
Jewellery-wise, jewellers can make the jewellery. Yeah. Watches and things like that.
No, of course not. They're specialists.
We can repair them and we can sell them and all that, but not actually manufacturing them. But with a good jeweller shop, we can work from building from the base upwards.
So talk us through as much as you can the generational shift in the business.
So back in the 1869 onwards, we've been Robert McCullough and probably his daughter working along with him. Then William Ball came in, worked along with them, and carrying on then into the newer generations, there would have been my dad and my uncle would have been running the business in 52 Main Street, which is where CT Ball is at the moment, or well, they've closed down now, but that's where the building was. In the 50s and 60s then, we would have bought the new premises down at 20 Main Street where we are at the moment. And I was mentioned before that I know exactly where my dad was on the day that I was born. He was in the solicitor's office signing the documentation on 20 Main Street.
Which is the current location.
The current location of it.
And there were two locations at that point, 20 Main Street as well. Did the brothers take a business each, so to speak, or did they mix
while
between the two?
While they were still in the 50s and 60s, they would have had the two together. So the Main Street would, the Upper Main Street at 52 would have been the jewellery, opticians, watches, things like that. The lower section then we did glass, china, giftware. So we did Waterford crystal, bleak china, things like that down below. Whenever my dad's family and my uncle's family were growing up, it was myself and my brother. and then my cousins. So at that point in 1969, they decided to split it into two separate firms. We took the McCullough name down to 20 Main Street, and Cecil Ball and his son Lance would have opened up under C.T. Ball in 1969.
Mm-hmm. And then there were two jewellery shops then that were established. Obviously, not two that were established, but a second was then as well.
Yes.
So the other brother transitioned back to jewellery?
We both then did, I suppose, similar ideas. So up in C.T. Ball, they did the jewellery and watches and some china, and Dad would have opened up with jewellery, watches and china down below as well.
Brilliant stuff. OK. And at what point then, well, we know when you were born and we know what your dad was doing, right? But, were you always around the shop as a young lad?
I suppose, I remember being in and out of what we call the Upper Main Street over the years. Then obviously when my dad had his own shop down below, I would have been in and out all the time. With a family business, you're never away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Even today with Gareth, I will still be popping into the shop, seeing how things are. When my youngest guy was born in 2000, I picked him up from the hospital, Katrina, and picked up Katrina and Joshua then. We actually did a delivery to a place outside the town to drop off some jewellery on the way home from collecting him from the hospital, because he was born in December, which is obviously a busy time.
I'm sure you were happy with that. Was there any other opinions in the car?
No comment. We will go no further with that.
I'm not going to dig any deeper.
Joshua didn't say anything.
It sounds
anyway.
Like a fantastic anecdote from you. I'm just wondering, is there another version of this anecdote out there somewhere, you know?
Katrina knows that whenever Christmas is on, especially in the business, that December she doesn't see us.
Because it's very much, and I'm sorry to ignore you, Gareth, not my intention,
no, not at all.
But listen, we'll come to you in a moment. Now that I've got him on a roll, I'm going to keep going, right? Because it is incredibly a returning customer of the community, that personal service, that I'm just thinking, you know, if a say for instance a young lad, not young lad, a man was coming in to buy one, perhaps potentially one of the most important purchases he'll ever make, you know, a engagement, for example, and he doesn't want to consult the other half. There has to be a level of trust there, doesn't there, and an understanding and working with him and his budget, but also giving him real advice as what's on trend, what might work for how a person might feel, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's very personal. It's one of those trades, isn't it?
It is. A lot of times we've had the parents being engaged with us, and even the grandparents engaged with us. So we'd have three generations. And as regards kind of the different products and the different prices, Gareth, you're probably good at this, because with the new process of diamonds and lab-grown diamonds, you can adjust it to suit the price points.
But you can still have the same...
So
wow.
Going back to the way you were asking how old jewellers were run, we are probably run fairly similar, just with more modern techniques. The values and the quality aspect still dates back to 1869. So from that, we obviously keep up with current trends, but if a customer wants something made that isn't going to last them, we let them know that, and we'll guide them towards something that is actually going to last them, that they can still have, you know, the on-trend ring, but just tweaking it slightly so that it is going to last them years.
Yeah, but you really have to have confidence in your business and your business model there, because for some you could be turning trade away, but you have to be honest with the customer, don't you? You have to say, this is the reality, because the raw materials you are working with are inherently expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So we're talking gold, we're talking diamonds, we're talking, you know, the source materials come at a premium.
We've had to make difficult decisions in the past. We had a range of rings in, and after seeing a few of them, we just felt that the quality wasn't there, and we actually had to pull the whole range and replace it with something different.
Yeah.
And it was a difficult decision, because the price point we were selling was going from 500 to 800. We were now jumping that up to 1,200-1,300 up. So it was a huge market that we were possibly alienating. But at the end of the day, it's the quality, and the customer has to be getting something that's going to last. You know, you want it to last a full marriage. You don't want it to, you know.
No, of course not.
Break
but
a few years.
And maybe it is the same with jewellery. It seems very simple for us in terms of cars, right? Expensive car, good. Cheap car will get you where you need to be, but in terms of its resale value and longevity, we understand that. I wonder, does the customer understand that it's the same with many products, including jewellery, but that's your job to explain that.
I think that's where we come in. We can kind of explain that to them and help them guide them through that process.
Okay, we are in conversation with the latest inductee to the Letterkenny Chamber Hall of Fame, Julian Ball of R. McCullough Jewellers. Also have his son Gareth. We're going to come back after the break and we're going to talk about Julian's education and I suppose getting into the business in earnest. That's just in a couple of moments. We're in conversation with Julian Ball of R. McCullough Jewellers and his son Gareth. Julian is the latest inductee into Letterkenny Chambers Hall of Fame. And I'm just curious as to your sort of transition into the business, because I suppose it feels a little bit like me to some extent. In the mid-teens, you left school, decided to go into watchmaking. Was that did that cause any issues? Was that what was expected of you? Did it just seem like the obvious decision?
I suppose it's kind of not expected of you, but there's an option there for it. My dad did take me out from school. I was in school in Sligo at the time. Whenever we drive in the car and I was sitting in the back, mum and dad in the front, and he turned around and he says, what do you want to be in life? Do you want to be a watchmaker or an optician? And I thought, yeah, I like the mechanical aspect of things, the small parts, working with it. I have small hands, so they're very, very, very suitable for the job. And I thought, yeah, that'll be a nice job to go with. So at that point, I became a watchmaker and then obviously learned the rest of the trade as we went along.
And is it sort of seen as an essential part of it, to have the watchmaking expertise, or it's just the way your sort of dad influenced you? Because I think is it your brother also, Colin,
brother was a watchmaker,
became
yes.
a watchmaker as yeah. well? Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. There's a lot of jewelers, places to sell jewelry around the country don't have all the qualifications. Mm. It's always to do a proper job, do a full job as a jeweller shop, you need the experience behind it.
Yes.
So whether it is watchmaking, whether it's jewellery repairs, jewellery manufacturing, or the associated trades like diamond graders, valuers, things like that, the more experience you have within the company, the better the company can be run.
So when then did you sort of take up your position in the business, right? Was that at 18?
At 18,
or did you study and you were hands-on in the shop at the same time as well?
Well, once you learn in the college in Dublin, the Irish Swiss Institute of Horology, whenever you leave that, you are a fully trained watchmaker.
Yes.
You then have to learn how to get your point across to the customer. So whenever the watch, whatever work it needs done, you have to get across to them. So you learn that on the floor, listening to my dad, listen to how he taught, how he kind of treated his customers, and I picked all that up. And I hope that my boys have picked the same thing as well on the next generation then.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I don't know if people ever thought that sort of, analogue watches or however it might be described might become a thing of the past. Obviously, there's a plethora of smart watches and people use those and for keep fitness and what have you. But the impressive look of the type of watches that you sell and work on, and of course there's hybrid watches as well. By the way, I'm not saying that these technologies can't be amalgamated, but it maintains the class of a watch. A good watch is always there. It's often a sign. It's something people will comment on, right? It's your shoes and your watch and something else. It's going to persist, isn't it? It's not going to become a thing of the past, I don't think.
I don't think so. There's always been trends back in the 70s, then the digital watch came out.
Yeah.
People thought no one was going to buy a watch with hands.
How badly did people need a calculator to have a fully fledged, full calculator button on the wrist?
Yeah. Did you have anything small enough to actually depress the buttons and work it all out?
No, but like, who thought, right, everyone's going to need a calculator on the wrist eventually? But anyway, that was another trend. Yeah. And then I do remember for the younger ones, there was very basic games on them, but fundamentally it comes back to watches for telling time.
They moved then obviously to the likes of battery watches, and technology has moved on through now that we're with some of our brands, they only do mechanical watches again. They're back to what's called the automatic, so the movement of the arm winds it, so you don't put batteries in it. As long as you wear it for a reasonable period every so often, it keeps the watch working.
And where are you at now in terms of your day-to-day involvement? Because I'm going to bring Gareth in a second.
Theory,
but I mean, you've been on it for 42 years now, right?
Yeah, in theory I'm retired.
But you're like a tailor. My dad was a bespoke tailor, right? You never retire.
No.
Whilst you can still go in, you don't. You're still going to go in. And you're still going to be involved.
I'm in the background if Gareth or Joshua
is it the background, Gareth?
For the most part, yeah.
Or foreground.
I'm learning to to keep quiet.
Gareth, so how similar is your story to that of your dad's? Did you complete your second for you know the secondary school or?
Yeah, no, I completed secondary school. I actually went to college then, and I studied law. Mm. It was only when I finished my law degree that I thought I really don't like.
It's like the mafia, you're in it, though. You try and get away, but they pull you back in.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I decided then that my passion lay more in diamonds as opposed to watches or, you know, the jewellery end of it. And I went to London for the over and back for the better part of 4 or 5 years and did my training. So I'm a fully qualified diamond grader. I've trained under GMA and GIA in London as well.
And from the amount of studying you have to do to be fully qualified in your area is remarkable.
It's the final exam, we were given 6 stones. We're in a very small, dark room. You're given 6 clear stones. You have to identify correctly if each of the 6 stones are diamond or not. If they're a diamond, you have to fully grade them. You have to get 95% to pass.
You are one of a very small group of fully qualified people in this area, in this country, that is active.
I would say I know of about 6 or 7 in the whole country.
And also, too, you learned during your studies that you were colourblind.
Yes. 2 days before one of my final exams.
Is it a grade of coloured blindness? It must
be. I'm purple, yellow, grey, so I have difficulty with shades.
Yes.
Shades of grey specifically, I can't really see. So to me, it literally is black or white. I can't really see the in-between times. But it was 2 days before an exam.
So that means you faced a complete barrier, but an additional challenge to achieving the score required qualify?
Not a complete barrier by any means. I sort of have to work backwards. So most people would start with the colour of a stone and work through it. I would work backwards, so I would do all of the technical testing, and it would lead me to a result that it has to be one of these 2 colours. And because I can see most colours, but I just can't see the shades within it. And for a lot of that, it doesn't really affect what I do and how I do it. I've adapted over the years. This was maybe 10, 12 years ago.
Considering how clearly we can trace the history back and the passing of this business through the generations, it must be a great feeling to be part of that.
Absolutely.
Because dynasty, I don't know what we describe it, dynasties or whatever you might call it, that always has connotations, right? Mm-hmm. But just sort of something that multi-generational businesses that can be traced back continuously to a certain time. It's quite a remarkable thing to be a part of, and clearly doing something that you love because you tried law and you were drawn back to the diamond side of it.
I always enjoyed being in the shop, whenever I was small, being in the shop as well. And when I went to secondary school in St. Junan's, I would still come down, you know, especially around this time of year, I would come down for my lunch and served.
It's a night time for scheming when your dad has your shop on the main street, isn't it? I wouldn't know anything about that personally either. But Julian, you're in a great position as well, that you've done your time. Look, you're not out of it. We know that. We've established that, right? But it's wonderful that you can see your business in safe hands and the bloodline continues.
Exactly, yeah.
It's very encouraging for you, isn't it? It's almost like your work is done, but I'm going to still work.
Yeah, and hopefully for generations to come.
Yeah, indeed. Well, listen, busy time of the year, isn't it? This time of the year. I'd say you can recognise the different people who walk through the door, can you? That nervous fella that's never been in before.
We're pretty good at spotting engagement couples.
Pockets deeper than their arms and those that are minted. And you, over the years, I'd say you can pick out the... I know which one I am. I'm the one that doesn't know what I'm doing. All right, okay.
We have great staff, though, that can guide people through.
You know, no, of course. But of course you have to, too. And it's a balance, too, to let someone have a little look and then know when to go over and say, can I assist
when
you?
People but want help.
Yous have mastered that at this stage.
And if someone wants to come in for a Christmas decoration, they'd be treated exactly the same they would be if they're coming for a diamond ring.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that. I have no doubt about that. Gareth, anything you want to say about your dad?
No, it's the award is well deserved. From revolutionising by putting in a computer back in 1998. Up until that, we were handwritten. He's constantly progressed the shop forward. He's never, sat still. And he's allowed me to progress it as well. Back, I suppose, before I was in charge by any means, I would have been allowed to do certain things that he probably knew were going to fail. But I think I needed that to... to learn.
It's a line, guidance, interference, and other things as well. You have to know.
If you don't fail, you never learn.
100%. Yeah. Well, is it going from strength to strength? It's great that Julian obviously still has his involvement, but it's clear that the business is continuing into the next generation in safe hands, and as Julian says, hopefully for many years to come. And also, you're nice, young, and healthy to be able to enjoy your Hall of Fame award. You know what I mean? It's not posthumous or anything.
No.
You can walk around with pride up and down Letterkenny Main Street. Brilliant stuff. Julian Ball, thank you so very much. Gareth, thank you for calling up as well. Both of you really enjoyed speaking to you. That is Julian Ball of R. McCullough Jewellers in Letterkenny, who is this year's recipient, or entry, I suppose, into the Letterkenny Chamber Hall of Fame, and joins some incredibly important names in the history of business in Letterkenny and surrounds. And Gareth as well, thank you for coming up, for your insight, and, dare I say, perhaps a little bit of moral support.